Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
I want to say thank you so much for Gloria and Jewel for a beautiful and exciting introduction. I'm really excited now. Can I get a cheer from youth? Yes. Good morning, church. Hi, I'm Tiffana Tania, and it's really good to see you all, whether you are here on site or for those of you who are online, welcome to PJEFC. And yes, as you can see that in this beautiful morning, we are served by all youths from Impact and CUG for this Youth Sunday. Can we please give a big applause to God for the youth we have here in PJEFC? Yes. Praise the Lord for them. It is so fun that all the youths get the opportunity to take over the whole service today. And thank you for this opportunity for me to preach here as well. And just like what we've watched, a skit video made by youths also about this familiar yet really meaningful story just now, the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15. And I want us to all reflect what God wants us to understand from it today. The parable of the prodigal son is really familiar to us, right? I believe most of us here in this room have heard about this prodigal son sermon at least once in a lifetime, right? But I believe that the power of God's word will remain relevant and never expire in our life. Amen. Yes, so today we will pay attention to our Bibles. Take it easy throughout the sermon because I have provided all the verses on the screen. Luke 15:11-32 first is quite long. We won't read it all today, but from the video just now, we have seen the story of the parable and what Jesus said through this parable. But before we look through it, let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we want to thank you for your blessings in our life. Thank you that we could wake up today and worship you here in PJEFC this morning. Lord, please help us as we want to hear a word from you through the passage today. Holy Spirit, please help us to understand what you want us to understand from this parable of the prodigal son. Help us to not be distracted by anything else that can take our concentration to hear your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. The parable of the prodigal son. If you look at verse 1 until 2, actually this parable was told by Jesus to the Pharisees, scribes, and sinners. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And if we pay attention to the previous passage, something that is really interesting are the parable of the prodigal son is actually the climax of the total three parable. What it is? The lost sheep of the 100, the lost coin of a 10, and finally the loss of precious son. If we see the number and value of the parables, like from 100 and 10 and the precious son, we can see how precious and valued humans are. According to the audience, at that time, in the parable of the prodigal son, the father certainly represents our God. And these two sons represents humans. The younger son represents the sinner, and the older son represents the scribe and the Pharisee. And these two sons are prodigal son. Both are lost. We will see further, but today, I want us to both pay attention to the story of the younger son. Some of you might know this story already. But for those of you who haven't heard about this story, it's okay. You're not alone. Let's break this story down together. So basically, the story, there is a father that has two sons. And in verse 12, the younger son asks his father for his inheritance. It says, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them." So, at that time, inheritance was given to the children if their father was about to die. So basically, if this younger son asks for inheritance, he doesn't care about his father's death. So it was an odd thing if a child suddenly asked for an inheritance. They were said, the share of property that is coming to me. So he asked for his right or portion. He asked for everything of his portion, even though he doesn't know whether he can manage it well or not. And do you know that sometimes I can relate to this? There's a time that I cannot wait for the moment when I can leave the house. You know, just like what Joel and Gloria have mentioned before, I come along from Indonesia, right? And I really, really cannot wait for the time when I can leave the house. I don't care whatever the reason, I just wanted to get out from the house. Because I wanted the freedom outside my parents. I don't want to be controlled. I don't want my parents to tell me this, and that. No, I want to live alone. And I know some of you, youths, can relate to this, right? Yeah, we cannot wait the time that we can leave the house. And here I am. Here I am, yes. That's why I'm here in Malaysia. If my parents watch this, I'm so sorry. But yeah, here I am. And now we wonder, why would he, this younger son, leave his house? Is it because, like me, he wanted a freedom? Is it because he doesn't like his father? Is it because he had a fight, a huge fight with his older brother? And actually, where is his mother? Why he never mentioned about his mother? None of us ever think about this, right? And do you know I know the answer? No, I don't know the answer also. That's why I want us to pay attention to every part of this passage and open up more questions like this. This younger son spent his money or inheritance with a wide living. And after this younger son spent the money his father had given him, the situation changed in verse 14. What happened? And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. There was a famine going on in that country. What happened to the son? This younger son was unprepared, and that is why he became poor and even enslaved. He fed pigs. If you watched the video just now, he fed pigs. And at that time, pigs were considered as unclean animals. It's haram, you know. Pigs is unclean animals at that time. And in verse 16, it says that he is alone. All his friends and even his boss leave him. Until to the point of eating pig pots. Do you know what is pig pots? Pig pots is not even a food of pigs. It's a leftover food. Isn't this sad? Can you imagine eating rubbish? Can you imagine eating rubbish to stay alive? Just now we talked about how much he spent his huge sums of money to have fun. You see, they got like Gucci, Apple, and stuff like that. And now it's all turned 180 degrees. He messed up. Have you all been wondering, actually, why did his father give him the money, knowing that he is still young, since it's not mentioned that he's married, and most probably cannot manage it by himself? In verse 17, he realized his situation. It says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? He realized his situation. It says he came to himself. He realized the situation that he has sinned against his father. He became poor and has nothing left. It made him realize that this is was what he really had when he wasn't living with his father, when he is away from his father. It makes him realize that this is the real me. Not the one who is rich, not the one who spent a lot of money, But this is me. When I has nothing, when I have nothing away from my father, this is the real me. When he is down, when he is alone, when he has nothing, he finally knows himself. He came to himself when he has nothing. He remembered everything that happened at his father's house. He began to recall that even his father's servants were doing good and comfortable. See, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? While here, I'm suffering. While here, I need to eat pig pots. Church, then what did he do? He repents. In verse 18 till 19, it says he realized that he is not worthy to be called son. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. You know, he realized that he is not worthy to be called son anymore. But actually, church, that is the moment when he understands what it is to be a son. When I came to Malaysia, like 5 months ago, I felt that I am free from my parents. Like, yes, finally, this is the time, you know. No one can control me. I live alone in seminary. But let me tell you something, that the world doesn't work like that. What I faced alone was not what I expected when I was with my parents. I used to think I never felt at home back then when I was in Indonesia. I feel my home doesn't feel like home. I felt controlled. I couldn't do things that I wanted to do. You know, Asian parents sometimes do that, right? Youth. But last week, my parents came to Malaysia to visit me. Some of you might meet them, some of you might saw them. But they cannot make it this Sunday, sadly, because they have some responsibilities to do as pastors. You know, sad truth, pastors cannot take a long leave, right? Pastors. Yeah, so they cannot make it until this Sunday. And you know, the moment when I let my parents go to the airport, I went back to the hotel room and then I take my time. And I was thinking like, oh, that's so sad to be alone, actually. I was thinking like, oh, my parents leave me already now. And then after I shower, I pack all my things, I realized that the moment when I think and leave them to the airport, I realized that actually, home is not about the distance. Home is not about the place. But home is about the person. So when this younger son was thinking about his father, he realized that the moment when he becomes a son is not only when he is at home, but whatever he is doing, he will still be his father's son. Have you ever wondered why the younger son even wanted to be his father's servant? He even prepared the script, you know. He even prepared the script. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Because he knew he messed up already. Sometimes we as humans are afraid of rejection. Because this world rejects us if we do not qualify and do not deserve anything, even to be loved. That's why we are afraid to admit if we were wrong. Even afraid to tell failures because we are afraid of being rejected. Afraid of weakness and mistakes. That's why some of us are afraid even just to say sorry. Right? We are afraid that there will be no love and acceptance when we apologize and repent. Therefore, the theme of today's sermon came out. Will God still love me when I'm messed up? Questions to ask when we are afraid of rejection. Will God still love me? Really? You sure? Even when I messed up? Will God still love me? He's not gonna reject me? This is a question because we are afraid of rejection. But today, church, let me tell you, that we learn our God is a God who is merciful and accepts us. God waits and longs for us to return to Him, regardless of how far you have strayed from Him. In verse 20, we see a contrast here. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. See this carefully. Father's heart is moved with compassion. Even when his friends live and don't have compassion for him. We see in the verse 16 just now that all people leave him. And you know his father, the one who he betrayed, is the one who gives him compassion. His father is waiting outside the house, purposely waiting for his youngest son. No one can see from a distance on the street if he just stays at home watching TV. If you're inside the bedroom and then you scroll your phone, you watch TV, can you see what happened outside the house? Cannot. Can you see what happened on the street? Cannot. One had to be outside the house to see who was coming. And that's what his father did. His father saw him and ran to him. God's heart is full of mercy. Not God that, see, I told you, now you regret. No. Our God is God who waits, runs, and accepts us. God's mercy and love is unconditional. The acceptance and embrace is not due to achieving something. The younger son clearly messed up big time and has no achievement. Nothing to be proud of. What? Eating pig pots? No, nothing to be proud of. This younger son messed up. But God accepts him despite his total failure. And that's the picture of our Father. We could mess up in life, church. We could mess up in life. But if we are willing to return, our God Father will accept us in a way beyond our imagination. There was a moment when I'm here in Malaysia, like a few months ago, when I felt like a failure. I cannot achieve anything, you know, a typical college student that expects everything to be perfect, that expects all the grade is A. And, you know, not because I want it, not because I want everything to be perfect, but I did that because I'm used to it. I'm expected to be perfect with my parents, family, people around me. There is no space for mistakes for me. Everyone has high expectation on me. So the moment when I made mistake, I felt my world had ended. I feel that I'm not enough for everything. Even when I met my parents, I always felt that I would never be enough for them. I did this and that just so everyone can be proud of me. And I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to please everybody. Because the moment I made mistakes, they leave me. And until I met my dean on campus in MBS, I told him all of my story, what I felt and everything. One sentence he said to me, Tiffana, do you know that God loves you not because of who you are, but because of who He is? And that hits me really hard. I don't know what you are feeling now, church. I don't know what you are facing right now. But if you can relate with me, that you always expected to be perfect, you are expected to make no mistakes, you are insecure of what you are doing is not enough, in everyone's eyes, let me tell you today that God still loves you even when the world doesn't. And that's enough. Or perhaps you might feel the other way. You've made a mistake and you are afraid of rejection. We all do. We're all afraid of rejection. You are afraid to come out with a confession. You are scared that everyone will leave you because of what you've done. I want to tell you today that God loves you not because of who you are, but because of who He is. It's not you, it's Him. God loves you not because of what you've done, but because of what He has done on the cross for you. I want you all to remember this after you came out from this room, that God loves you not because of what you have done, not because you do good, not because you do this, but because of what He has done on the cross for you. Christianity doesn't teach us to be a great achiever who is always perfect and does great things. But the thing is, how do we understand that God has the power of unconditional acceptance and transforming mercy for our life? It doesn't mean that we are celebrating failure, we are happy if we fail, no. But to allow God to walk with us in the midst of our mess. Back to the story of the prodigal son. Not only that his father welcomes him, but he has the true acceptance and forgiveness. Not just like, okay, come son, welcome to the house, you can do whatever you want to do. No, his father gives him a good clothes, shoes, finest robe, fattened calf. You know, at that time, fattened calf is an animal for a special occasion only. So it's really something that really special that you really need to celebrate. So fattened calf is a really special animal. And what does it mean? It means the father give a recovery. Just like our God. It's not just acceptance, but also restoration. He is not just waiting for us. He celebrates us. No one can do this other than Jesus, who died on the cross, receiving, forgiving, and accepting us as sinners. Father's feast and joy, a celebration of the repentance of children who return and repent. I'm sure the younger son didn't expect the father to clothe him with the finest robe and threw him a party to welcome him. But this parable showed us our Father is generous like that. And I believe this is not only happened with this younger son. If we look through all the Bible, we can see so many stories like this. In Psalm 103, we can see that Israel messed up a lot and a lot. We know that. They disobeyed God over and over again until they felt that there's no more God's promise for them. And yet, God has mercy on them. Verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. As a father shows compassion to his children, verse 13. So the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. Remember how Jonah, David, Moses, Paul, even Israelites in these verses, and all those people who messed up in the Bible, and yet God still loves them. It goes the same with you. God loves you just like how God loves them. There are two voices fighting today. Evil says, don't come back. You are not precious. God is mad at you. You are not worthy. You've sinned. But today, I want to tell you that God doesn't see you the same way everybody sees you. He invited you to come home, to celebrate with you, He is waiting for you to come home with love. So now what? God loves me. So what? What should I do now? I know that God loves me no matter what. So how should I respond to that? You know, there's a power of change from mercy and grace. It is called repentance and transformation. God welcomes and accepts you, but He also desires transformation from us. Our God doesn't leave us in the state He found us. That's just being indulgent, isn't it? God also desires to transform and change us to be a better version of ourselves. Return to God. Be ready to make adjustments, to be guided by Him. Live a new life with Him. Repentance is not just saying sorry. Repentance is about the whole direction of our lives need to be turned from our old ways of living to a new way that God is leading us toward. Again, repentance is not just saying sorry. It is how you turn the whole direction from your old ways of living to a new way that God is leading us toward. In verse 24, it says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. It said that he is dead and alive, lost and found again. Just like what we sang before about amazing grace that we lost, found again. Lost as being away from God. Lost described as good as dead. People who are alive don't mean the one who achieved something, but people who are close to God. Let me repeat this. People who are alive doesn't mean the one who achieved something, but the people who are close to God. It's useless to achieve everything and feel like you've never failed, but spiritually dead and be lost from the presence of God. The son returned to the presence of his father and is found again. Likewise, God is calling us to return to him again. God calls you to come back in and enjoy his presence. Not the presence of God who control, but as God's presence that bless, forgives, accepts, kiss and embrace you with love. Now before I close, this is not a message only for youth, but for the rest of the church. We know that we are familiar with the younger son as a prodigal son in this passage. But actually, there is another prodigal son that is lost. Yes, the older son. Sometimes it is not a situation that messes us up, but it's a messed up way of thinking. If we read the passage again, we will realize that the older son was questioning the generosity of God. He is judging and thinking that God is unfair because he accepts and celebrates the younger brother who has sinned. See what he said? "Yet you never gave me a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, he has sinned. You killed the fattened calf for him." See, he asked the generosity of his father. Perhaps some of us sometimes are like this older brother. We think we are better than the prodigals. We think that we are better enough to judge and ask for our right to be celebrated more than the other. We think that we are more qualified than the others. We think that we deserve more than the others. we start to ask about God like the Pharisees and scribes. Why would you eat with the sinners? Why would you love the sinners? Why would you accept and even embrace them? It should be me. It should be me, the one who is always with you, the one who is always working with you. It must be me. We forget. Church, we forget that we are also sinners and in need of God's mercy. We forget that it is not us, it's Him. Not because of what we do, but it is because of what He does on the cross for you. We forget that we should reflect the Father's heart that accepts and welcomes the sinner who has chosen to return to God. Perhaps another question to reflect for the rest of us today. Parents, would you accept your child when they come to you today to confess their sins? Would you accept them? Would you embrace them? Just like what God did? Would you still love them as the way God loves them, even if they messed up? Or friends, would you accept your friends when they come to you with all their mess? Would you accept them in the midst of their mess? Today, when you feel like God is stirring in your heart to return to Him, wait no longer. Come. God pursues us even when we are all in our mess. I messed up. You might messed up. Everyone might messed up. But for the lost today, God is waiting for you to come home. God loves you and celebrates you, whether you are the older or the younger son. God wants you to have a heart like Him, accepts and welcomes. Don't harden your heart. Whatever you are now, older or younger son, whatever you are facing now, come to God. Believe that He will accept you, loves you, and bring a big transformation in your life. I invite you all to bow your heads and close your eyes and reflect on this. God is waiting for you to come home right here, right now. Whatever your situation is, return to Him. It is not you who make the transformation on your life, it's God. It is not you who has the power to change your life, it's God. Believe in Him, He can change your life. Yourself to the presence of God. Ask Him to lead you and guide you today. Let me close this sermon with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you that today we could hear and understand what you want to tell us from this passage. But Lord, we don't want just to hear and understand. We want to be transformed. Remind us, Lord, that You will still love us no matter what. Remind us that You are the one who is able to make a transformation in our life. Lord, we want to repent. We want to come back to You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for always be there for us. Thank You for accepting us in our mess. Thank You for not seeing us like the world does. Help us to repent and live in your presence. Help us, guide us, bless us as we return back to you. Lord, we want to commit our life into your hands. Guide us, help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.